I'm going to speak to Bruce Williamson's campaign from the campaign group Rail Future. What is the future of these old disused lines, Bruce? Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. Yeah, I mean, the future of rail is very good. I mean, despite, you know, the current crisis, obviously passenger numbers are down hugely. But when this blows over, you know, I'm very confident that the rail will bounce back. I mean, for the 50 lines mentioned, I think we need to be clear, you know, this isn't reopening 50 lines. This is looking at a list of 50 lines that might reopen so we can think about doing a feasibility study. And then maybe in the future, if we can find the funding, some of them might reopen. So we need to get realistic about this. This isn't a reversing beaching bonanza, but it is a step in the right direction. It is very welcome. And I think it's also significant in the way the sort of public mood and the political mood is changing, you know, because for years, for rail campaigners such as myself, it's been a very, very frustrating process. You know, it's, you know, obstacle after obstacle, and yet money unlimited for road building. And no, we can't find the money to reopen the rail lines. So the mood music is changing. It's better for the environment, obviously, railways. Mm. And, you know, I'm optimistic.
So optimistic, but we're not looking at something that will revolutionize our railway system here.
Well, not in itself, no, but I think, you know, the impact of reopenings, you know, is revolutionary. You know, it does absolutely transform communities that have been cut off from the rail network for years. And, examples of reopenings are sadly few and far between, particularly in England, but Scotland and Wales have done rather better. And, you know, the lesson is very, very clear that where you reopen these railways, you know, what's the old phrase? Build it and they will come, you know, and they have been hugely successful and in many cases have massively exceeded the original estimates of how many passengers were going to use them.
Isn't it really hard to make money out of rail travel?
Yeah, I mean, the economics of rail is a very complex business. And obviously the rail network as a whole requires a subsidy. And, you know, right now it's requiring a massive subsidy because there's not many people paying for rail tickets. But, you know, I think early on in the 70s, when the beaching cuts became sort of slightly controversial, I think it was Barbara Castle introduced an element of social benefit. And I think if you look at the wider picture of the environment, of economic growth, of, you know, transforming people's lives, you know, it makes great economic sense. And, you know, you've heard of this thing, the cost benefit analysis, where you invest a pound and looking at the bigger picture, you get £5 back. Well, there are many, many railway schemes that do have a very, very strong cost benefit. Now, sorry, benefit cost ratio.
Sure.
They reversed it, didn't they? But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You put a pound in, you get £5 of greater benefits back. So even though you're subsidizing the line, you're getting rewards from all that money that you invest.
Of course, but the and social mobility that comes into that as well. But that's largely dependent on affordability, isn't it? And we have, unfortunately, quite an expensive way of travelling by rail in this country.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. The cost of rail tickets, you know, is probably the most expensive in Europe. And the government still, year after year, has put up rail fares above inflation using the discredited RPI measure when they should be using CPI, if anything at all, and contrast that to freezing fuel duty for motorists, which they've done for, I think, 8 years now. So, you know, there's still this massive bias in favour of the motorist, and the odds are very much stacked in favour of rail, and the government needs to do more.
Why is it that we're so expensive in that respect? Because I look at those pie charts they produce, you know, how much, where the money goes per ticket. And it all looks like, whenever the rail companies release those, there's only you can hardly see it, a tiny bit at the top, a little tiny cheese of that pie chart that says profits, you know, for the board.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, the rest of it apparently reinvesting into the system.
Yeah, I mean, that is largely true. The profit margins are very, very small. So when the unions complain about, you know, privatized rail companies ripping off the customers, that isn't entirely fair. However, you could argue that that's 2% going to the bottom line of the rail companies, which should be invested into the railways. And, you know, whilst the rail companies themselves operate a fairly tight ship, I think the complexity of our privatized rail network just adds cost because of the bureaucracy. So our sort of rail costs as an industry are higher than those in Europe.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a political decision about how much, you know, you're going to subsidize the railway and how much you're going to force the passengers to pay. So the fare increases are absolutely in the hands of the government.
And in terms of the cost, just to go back to that, if I go to Spain, I can almost travel across the whole country for about 50 pence, slight exaggeration, yeah. But you take my point. If I want to travel from London to Manchester on a bad day, that could cost me 300 quid. So what are these other countries doing that we're not doing?
Well, I mean, broadly speaking, it is investing more and subsidising more. I mean, you know, I'm sure that for various complex reasons that some of the costs in Spain are lower than in this country. So, it's not quite as simple as doing a straight off cost comparison. Mm. And to be fair to the British railway operators, they would argue that some of our off-peak fares are amongst the cheapest in Europe, which is true. If you're prepared to, you know, book 4 years in advance and get an off-peak super apex discount return, you can get some real bargains, but you know that doesn't suit all the passengers. So if you want to travel now, it is hideously expensive in many cases.
Indeed, Bruce, great to talk. Thank you. Bruce Williamson is from the campaign group Rail Future. I love a train. Trains are fabulous. They're just massively expensive, aren't they?